Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I am very pleased to say we have with us for a full hour today a man who has been very deeply involved in thinking about and advising on the practice of, well, the war for the free world, as I call it, in a number of incarnations, including as a professor of national security studies at the U.S. Army War College, also as a similarly positioned professor at the U.S. Air War College. He is the author of some 900 monographs, scholarly articles, and books. A man deeply knowledgeable, particularly about the subject we're going to be drilling down on today, Russia. He is, of course, Dr. Stephen Blank, a senior fellow these days for Russia at the American Foreign Policy Council, and always a welcome guest here at Secure Freedom Radio. Thank you so much, Dr. Blank. We appreciate you finding the time for a serious conversation about where Russia's headed and what it might mean for us.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Frank.
You have contributed to a new book the Center is rolling out about now, entitled Putin's Reset, The Bear is Back, and How America Must Respond. Your particular essay is a very important one. It talks about Russia's goals and objectives in Syria. But I'd like, if I may, at the beginning of this conversation, to sort of back the lens up a little bit and talk about what you think are Putin's objectives and goals more generally.
We have to separate them into domestic and foreign policy goals for analytical purposes, because otherwise people would be completely confused. At home, the main objective is not just to secure his power and that of the power of his ruling system that he's created, but it is also to create legitimacy for that system by demonstrating that Russia is a great power that will not be pushed around by anybody and will take forceful action, and we know what that means, in the world arena in order to defend and advance its interests. It is also, in domestic terms, a way of averting people's eyes from the economic disaster that is taking place and has been taking place in Russia, and the unwillingness and refusal to make vital economic reforms by diverting people's minds to the sense that they're under attack and that I'm defending you. And this is a longstanding technique in dictatorships, not just Russian, but other ones also. So that's three of the main domestic reasons. In foreign affairs, his great goal is, of course, as we said, is to restore the idea that Russia is a great power. What does that mean? It means essentially that Russia can do as it pleases in world affairs and enjoys a status equal to that of the United States, and that Washington really can't do anything about it. Therefore, when there is a major crisis somewhere, Syria being an example, but it doesn't only have to be Syria, Russia will weigh in with its voice, other capabilities if necessary, and Washington therefore must consider the Russian voice in order to do anything. In other words, what he wants is a veto on unilateral American action. And beyond that, what it also means is that Russia should be free to act in what it considers to be its sphere of influence without any external constraint. Unfortunately, that sphere of influence is not just the former Soviet Union, but Eastern Europe as well.
And is it fair to say that in Eastern Europe, Dr. Blank, Putin aspires to establish not just sort of a sphere of influence, but an actual domination, notwithstanding, you know, the post-Soviet breakup and what it meant for, well, some of those nations in Eastern Europe becoming members of NATO, for example?
Well, the sphere of influence really comes close to that. I mean, he knows full well he cannot occupy these countries or dominate them the way the Soviet Union did, as we remember it. But what he does want to achieve is that these countries cannot act against what he considers to be Russian interests on their own or in tandem with the United States. As a matter of fact, if you read Russian foreign policy literature and statements by officials, ambassadors, analysts, and so on, it is very clear that for Mr. Putin and for his team, they do not recognize in fact the true territorial integrity and sovereignty of any of the states east of Germany that came out of the Cold War and became free. They maintain diplomatic relations with them and hold embassies and formally recognize their sovereignty because they have no choice. But in point of fact, they want to revise the entire post-war European, post-Cold War European settlement. Ukraine is a perfect example of that. Moldova is another. They know they can only go so far at any given time. But it's very clear from their attitudes and from their statements, as well as their behavior, that this is really what they think. So this idea of a sphere of influence does not equate to the Soviet bloc in its heyday, but it certainly means that Russia has a decisive voice in those areas.
And as you look at this, what do you make of the oft-noted statement that Putin uttered some years ago now, that the greatest disaster of the 20th century was the fall of the Soviet Union? I've always been struck by the other disasters of that century, notably World Wars I and II, that would take second billing. But is this the kind of sort of catastrophe that Putin is determined to reverse? And if it is his objective to reverse it, you say it doesn't go as far as sort of reconstituting the old Warsaw Pact, but does it require really a kind of elimination or greatly reduced role for the United States in those nations that were part of the Warsaw Pact?
Well, a couple of points. First of all, if you read the statement in the original Russian, it has a couple of potential meanings. That does not necessarily mean the greatest catastrophe, but it certainly does mean a great catastrophe. But it does mean the restoration of Russia's standing and status in the world as it was during the Cold War or close to it. He knows full well he can't achieve what, say, Stalin and Khrushchev and Brezhnev were able to do. But it means that the Russian state, as I've said, would be a completely sovereign, free, independent agent, able to do what it wants and have this sphere of influence that would be under its decisive influence. And this means revising the last 25 years of world history, not just Russian history. So I think that's really what he wants to do. And he certainly regards the collapse of the Soviet state as a major catastrophe. And what he's all about is not restoring the Soviet empire, but some form of the Russian.
That would presumably be bad for a lot of the countries between us and the Russians, but it probably would not be a good thing for the United States as well. And turning to the specific topic.
War in Europe, Frank. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it means war. I mean, we see in Ukraine, it means war. In Georgia, it means war. In Moldova, it means war. Because these states are not interested in being part of Russia's imperial project. I mean, in the most basic sense.
But does the fact that some of these nations, notably the Baltic states and Poland, of course, Romania, are now members of NATO, does that create, in your estimation, Dr. Stephen Blank at the American Foreign Policy Council, a check on Putin's willingness to risk war, given what it might entail?
It certainly does. But again, you have to remember, and particularly if you're looking at it from Moscow's point of view, that war today is not just simply a question of kinetic combat operations or force on force, to use the professional term. We have information war. We have cyber war. We have economic war. We have the use of media to subversion of elites, corrupting of political institutions and movements and politicians. All these are going on simultaneously. So while militarily, I think it's rather less likely that we're going to see a Russian military invasion. What you can achieve through the orchestration of all these combined pressures is the hollowing out of the NATO alliance from within, so that on paper NATO exists, but in practice it's meaningless.
Yeah. Dr. Stephen Blank, we have to pause for just a moment. We will be right back, and we'll be discussing more about the Russian use of these sorts of techniques for precisely that sort of purpose. That and more with Dr. Stephen Blank straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.